Well, we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read a number of verses here. It says, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Who knows a couple things there? He's speaking to him. He said, I'm mindful of your tears. Well, he's going through something. And then in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that's in you, dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, so evidently been in his family. Verse 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now we're going to, that's the part I want to focus on this morning, but I'm going to read farther. So verse 6, he said, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Verse 12, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. So I want to give you some context for this. Paul is writing to Timothy, young minister. This is the last epistle that Paul wrote. He's in prison, and he knows it's not that far off. He's seeing that he's not going to be on the earth that longer, so he's dumping things to Timothy. You would be given the important things. You know that the end is not that far off. But he's speaking to Timothy. Timothy's a young minister. And like we read in verse, you don't have to put it up, but 4, he said, being mindful of your tears. So Timothy is feeling pressure, evidently. And then he tells him, you know, he says the thing we read about his family, that the faith was dwelling in him. But verse 6, let's put that up. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. In other words, you stir up what has been ministered to you. Laying on of hands is a doctrine in the church. There's different. You can impart things through laying on of hands. You know, when somebody's ordained, that's probably what he's referring to. Ordained means you're recognized as there's a call of God on you, fivefold ministry gift on you. That there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, evangelists, and recognizing we're separating you into the ministry, probably what's going on here. But he's saying, you stir that up. Stir that up, what has been put into you. Because he's crying. he's putting pressure, and we get a little, I think, glimpse of some of that pressure as we read. But he says, stir up that gift. And then verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That's what I want to focus on, but I want to give you some context here, and then we'll move on. God has not given us a spirit of fear, power, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So he's exhorting Timothy, there's some stuff that's going on for you, but walk in what has been put into you. Walk, stir up what's there. Now, look at verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. So Timothy looks like he's been pressed. Something's pushing on him, and Paul's talking about it in his own life, is pushing back on him to be bold, because it says God has not given us a spirit of fear. Let's look at verse 7 again. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Can you put up that in the NLT? I have that a little bit farther down. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and a self-discipline. So, fear, timidity, Timothy is dealing with that. And so if you can go back up to verse 8, it says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. He said, hey, don't be ashamed of what you believe, what is going to press in. You got to stir something up. Press in. Verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. He's preaching the gospel, but has now been revealed in the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Verse 12, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know that I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. So he closes the passage that we're looking at. He's saying, I believe him I trust him, who I've believed, who I know. Verse 12, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. So in context, Timothy is not going through something light. He's being tempted to fear, to shy back in his life. And Paul is exhorting him. So this is the context, you know. A lot of people know 1 or 2 Timothy 1:7. That's the context, which is Paul's referring to. And that's the context where he's communicating to Timothy. He's telling him to gird up because he's dealing with some stuff and tempted to pull back. So fear is... we'll get to it in a moment. We're going to go over some things regarding that specifically. But fear will put you in bondage to keep you from doing all that you should do. It doesn't matter what level it is. It will keep you. So here, Paul is telling Timothy, you need to push on and do this. Now, in context for him, it was, you need to press out. Don't be ashamed of what's going on. Just press into God. Stir up what you're called to do. But fear is trying to keep him from doing that. And that's what fear will always do, no matter what area it is in our lives. If we see fear, it's trying to steal from us. And so we need to do something with it, which we'll get to. Hebrews 2, verse 14, it says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same. So he became a person, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 15, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I'm going to read that again. This is giving us a picture of what fear will do. In verse 14, inasmuch then as children, as the children, the us, have partaken of flesh and blood, in other words, we're human, he himself, Jesus, likewise, shared in the same, in other words, he became human, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Notice it says he had the power of death. Doesn't say he has the power of death. Amen. The reason he doesn't have the power of death is because what we're talking about right here, Jesus broke that power. But it says, verse 15, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So through fear of death, through fear, I become subject to bondage. What is bondage? You're a slave. You know, fear will enslave you, push you, do things you don't want to do, do things you do want to do. Here, Timothy, he believes God has called him. This is the Apostle Paul. This is not some nobody. The Apostle Paul is saying, you have a gift that I've laid hands on you. You need to stir that up. And you need to know that you have not been given a spirit of fear. Why? That spirit of fear will keep Timothy in bondage. In other words, he will not do what he should be doing, because he's afraid. And that's what fear, whether it's something like this, we're talking about his ministry, his what he's doing on the earth, what God has called him to do. But you know, it'll keep you just in daily life from doing whatever. Keep you in bed. Some people will not get out of bed because they're afraid. I'm not talking about they're just afraid of the floor or something. It's overwhelming. Whatever, it's just overwhelming. Can't do it. They got to keep you from doing things at work. You're afraid. You don't want to be rejected, or you don't want to make a mistake. So you just think you're playing it safe. Well, here's the thing, getting ahead of myself, but if you're led by fear and you're doing, whether it's you, whether it's me, if we're doing something because we're trying to avoid something, we're afraid, we're being led by fear, and fear will never lead you to a good place. You know, it's like hunter's got a trap for an animal. Let's just say, make it simple. I'm not saying this is realistic, but you got a net. If you can scare the animal over here to get them to run that way, they're running away from something, but what are they running into? A trap. You know, that's what the devil does. And if he can keep you afraid, you, me, we're in bondage, and he will keep you going where he wants you to go. Faith is the opposite of fear. When we act because we think, well, I don't want to do that, because we need to check ourselves and realize that's fear. I might be led into something bad, and it's not by God. See, some people, I need to leave more foundation. We're going to get into this. We need to identify this, because otherwise we think we're being safe and we're actually being led into, we're in bondage. Look at this, verse 15 in the CEB. The CEB says, he set free those who were held in slavery their entire lives by the fear of death. Say, well, I'm not afraid to die. Well, you know what? Death in all its forms. I'm afraid to lose money. We've been redeemed from poverty. If God's your source, you don't do something God's telling you to do because you're afraid of. That means money's telling you what to do. But what is really, it's fear. I'm afraid. Well, I don't want to get in a relationship because something might happen. That's fear. Slavery. It's bondage. Kept in slavery. Held in slavery. Look at the Amplified Classic. Also that he might deliver and completely set free those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage throughout the whole course of their lives. You know fear will do that. You know why? Because it's the devil. It's a tool that he has. It's the opposite of faith. See, faith is, I trust God, I'm going forward. Fear says, I don't know. I don't know if I can trust God, and it shies back. Well, who would want you to shy back from God? The enemy. That's one of his tools. See, he doesn't come up with a red suit with horns and a pitchfork and say, I'm the devil. I'm about to try to screw your life up. I'm trying to make you afraid. Well, I mean, if somebody literally did that, you might have a sense of fear, but it's not that obvious. It comes and, well, there's inclinations, there's impressions, there's pressure. Try to make me afraid. That is never from God, ever. God doesn't make you afraid. In fact, he's the opposite. Look at Romans 8:15. It says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That's daddy, father. In the Amplified Classic, it says, for the spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship, in the bliss of which we cry out, Abba, Father, Father. In the NIV, it says, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves. That sound like Timothy? We have not been given a spirit of fear. The spirit we received is not fear. The spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. So the spirit you received, you became a son of Almighty God, and there's no fear in that. There's no fear there. There's no fear in the presence of God. Now, people, you know, there's places in the Bible where it says fear God. That's reverence. That's not the same thing. We ought to reverence God. You ought to be in holy awe of God. In our society, people are light. They're like, big man in the sky doesn't exist. You don't know who you're talking to. You don't know what you're talking about. If you meet the Almighty, number one, you can't even be in the presence of the Almighty. Flatten you. Jesus, when they tried to take him the garden, he spoke and all those soldiers fell down. Now, he didn't get his life taken. He laid it down. God is on the throne. All the power, the most powerful thing we know. You look at the oceans and how powerful it is. Well, that's nothing to compare when you zoom out and look at the sun and how much power everything there is. You zoom out and look at galaxies. God created it all. How powerful is he? He's the Almighty. So we reverence him, but run away scared? No, that same all-powerful being is our Father. Talk about my daddy's bigger than your daddy. That ought to be calm. See, when we know who he is and we're in his presence and we know who he is to us and what's happened through Jesus, that, yeah, it's not because of what we did. The reason we can stand in that awesome power is because of the blood of Jesus. You and me alone, no, we'd die. That's the whole reason Jesus had to come, because there's not a person clean enough. No person is perfect. To stand in the presence of God demands perfection, not grading on a curve, not best human, perfection. The only way you could be redeemed is through Jesus, the Son of God, shedding his blood so we could be right with God. But once you know that's how you got in, now you're in the presence of God, and because of what Jesus did, you're righteous. That means you're right. You're acquitted. You're justified. That's not fear. That's peace. Amen. But the devil is tormenting. The devil will torment his best servants. Because you can't get away from it. It's like organized crime. You're always looking out your back. There's no peace there. You're killing somebody, but you might be next. In the devil's kingdom, that's the way it is. You look at famous stars doing a great job leading people away from the devil. All of a sudden, they wake up dead in their 20s. Talking about all the time. You go back decades, it just keeps happening. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. You play with the devil, he is orchestrating it. He is keeping people in bondage, and they are his slaves for his devices, and he will throw them away like that. He does not care. He will use people and throw them out. One of the ways he keeps people in bondage is fear. Get them to do what he wants them to do. He does not care about people. He's a manipulator. He's a con artist. He uses people for his own devices to destroy. And even when they are doing a good job and they do have more capacity, his ways are going to kill them. If they serve him, they're still going to die. That's not even good from a business point of view. Like if you got somebody that's a high producer, like let him live longer. He can't help himself. You know why? Because his methods are destruction. So it says that spirit will make you a slave. Look at it in the NIV again, Romans 8:15. NIV, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves. The spirit of God will not, but we just read that people were all their lifetime subject to fear because of fear, the fear of death. It says here, the spirit that you've received, that I've received as Christians, does not make a slave so that you live in fear again. That means before you became in the family of God. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry out, Abba, Father. So now we're in a different place. We're in a different place. We're in the family of God. So fear has no place in our life. It's not God's will. Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear not. What does that mean? Don't fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. This is children of Israel, but in Christ, all these things, the new covenant is not smaller than the old covenant. It supersedes. And that means everything that was in the old covenant, the new covenant is, it says we live in a better covenant. That means it has everything the old covenant has plus. You know, it's like a $20 bill versus a $100 bill. A $20 bill is not better than a $100 bill. $100 bill is better. Why? Because it includes everything the 20 plus. So Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's God. I love that verse. Very simple. Fear not. Why? Why should you not fear? Just don't fear. No, we're not supposed to do it. No, because I'm with you. The Almighty is with you. The Almighty is with me. I mean, we can't wrap our minds around that. We can try. And the more revelation we get of it, the more it'll affect our life. But when you know God's with you, and that God we were just talking about, well, where are you going to be intimidated? He said, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right. Who's saying this? I will strengthen you, that Almighty God. I will help you. Oh, I'm going to get God's help? I will uphold you. That means keep you up. Oh, well, okay. See, if we know who that is, then the fear goes out the window. Can you skip down to Psalm 27:1? We'll come back up. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If I know the Lord, who am I going to be scared of? Why? Because I'm with him. I know him. So I'm not going to, you could say of what? You don't do any injustice to the verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Can you put that back up? The part for whom shall I fear? Or what shall I fear? If something's causing me, pushing on me to fear, we ought to say, well, but the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? What shall I fear? David is saying, he's exhorting himself here. He's saying, what shall I fear? He had a lot to fear. Go back and read about David, the people trying to kill him. The Lord is the king's trying to kill him. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of whom? Or of what? Or of what shall I be afraid? Yeah, I'm going to read this. So I'm going to read some things because, see, we don't identify this. We don't identify fear like we ought to. Some people tell you, well, that's just your anxiety. You know, anxiety's fear. Well, that's just you have an issue with anxiety. Not according to the Bible. There's a way out. You may have it, but there's an answer. And it's not, you have this condition, there's no way out. That's just the way, that's where you're at. That's not true. I'm saying the fact might be that's where you're at, but that fact can change. Because God said, fear not. He said, you have not been given a spirit of fear. So before we go farther, I want to read fear. The definition is the emotion experienced in the presence of threat or of danger. An uneasy state of mind, usually over the possibility of an anticipated misfortune or trouble. You're experiencing something because you think something's going to happen to you or something's a threat. But notice this. I like to bring this thing out because we don't identify it. Sometimes you just think, well, that's when it's like panic, or you're really paralyzed. That's fear, 100%. But look at this. Synonyms for fear: alarm and anxiety, dread, fearfulness, fright, horror. So that's fear. Side note: that's why you should not watch horror movies. I'm getting ahead of myself again, but it's here. Don't open the door to things that are going to inject fear into your life. People say, I like to be scared. No, you don't want to be scared. Not if you know what you're dealing with. It's bondage. It's just like, devil, I'm just going to open the door for you to enslave me, and I'm going to think it's fun. No, that's just foolishness. That's like, I like the feeling of being scared. No, you don't. Not when there's a, because that opens the door to you actually being scared. That gives a door to the enemy of all humanity to enslave us and say, oh, you think that's fun? No, we do not want to have anything to do with fear. So fright, horror, panic, scare, terror, trepidation, strain. Now listen to this. Stress. Tension. I'm not afraid. I'm stressed. Why are you stressed? You know, you stressed. You, me, stressed when we've been out on vacation for 2 weeks and just hanging out and everything's paid for. Are you stressed then? Well, I was stressed. Well, but okay, why? At some point, usually people say it takes a little bit to relax. You know why? That's to get all that junk out of your system so now you can clear it. But when you're truly relaxed, just think of the most relaxing people you're around, that no judgment. You're just in a place where everything's taken care of. Are you stressed? Usually not. In fact, I would say 100% of the time, not if that's the case. Why are we stressed? Because there's something we sense, something is going to hurt us, something there's fear, something's not going to be met, some kind of thing is going to go down. People call it stress. I'm just stressed. No, you're afraid. I'm afraid. Now we're going somewhere. We got to know. That's fear. Tension, I'm just tense. Why are you tense? Why am I tense? Anguish, desperation, so these are all fear. dismay, distraction, distress, disturbance, edginess, franticness, hand-wringing, jitters, jumpiness, angst, torment, vexation, cold feet, doubt, foreboding, suspense, uncertainty. All those are synonyms for fear. Say, well, so when we attempt to go, well, I'm just this. It's all in the same category. Flip it. God has none of those things, and he doesn't put it on anybody. If you're in the presence of God, there's peace. Peace that passes all understanding. It's not fear. Look at, I'm not going to have you look at some near antonyms of fear. See, this kind of brings it out. Stuff that's nearly the opposite of fear, assurance. Boldness. Confidence. Self-assurance, not such a good one. You're assured in God. Bravery, courage, daring, fortitude, valor, guts, nerve, calm, content, ease, peace, quiet, tranquility, comfort, relief. Everybody, you know what I'm talking about. You had something that was a deadline or something. You had a test. You had some big event. Get past it. What's that? You're past what you perceived as danger. You're going to fail. You're not going to get it done. You're not going to win. Whatever. Not going to bomb that interview. What is that? It's fear. That's what it is. And in the absence of fear, you feel relief. The antonym that's listed for fear, unconcerned. Just not concerned. That's the ultimate insult to somebody that's trying to threaten you. Just like, whatever. Not concerned. What do you mean? You're no threat. I'm not threatened by you. Why? I'm at peace. You do not threaten me. That's opposite of fear. You're just not concerned. Why? In our case, we know God. So here's the thing. That's what it looks like. God says over and over. I'm going to read a couple more. Matthew 6:31 says, therefore, do not worry. Oh, what did he say? Do not worry. What's that? That's fear. Saying, what shall we eat? So you could be afraid. What does that mean? I'm not going to have enough to eat. What shall we drink? I'm going to go thirsty. I'm going to die. What shall we wear? We could stay here all day and just, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen here? What is that? That's fear. Fear. Well, I'm just worried. No, afraid. What did Jesus say? Don't do it. Don't do it. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, or the people without God, non-Jewish people at this point, for your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. He knows. So why? The God of all creation, he knows, and he's my Father. So I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not concerned. Verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the things you're worrying about, the things you're afraid of, they'll be added to you. See, that's a different place. I'm going to serve him, and I expect him to provide for me. I'm going to do what he tells me to do, knowing that he's smarter than me, and he'll never let me down. What's it when we start worrying? I don't know if he's going to come through. I don't know if he's going to do it. I'm doing what he told me to do, but I don't know. What is that? That's afraid. That's not trusting him. Verse 34, therefore do not worry. Now, when we see that, we should say, don't fear. Worry is just on the scale. That's just on the fear scale. Here, horror, panic is pegging the fear scale. So I'm just a little tense. Yeah, you're starting on the fear scale. You know what we want to be? Where we want to be on that scale? Zero. No fear. Unconcerned. Jesus said, don't do it. If Jesus told us to do it, do we think we ought to be like, that's a good suggestion. I'm just going to go ahead and stress out. Is that the right path? Now, we've all done it. I'm not going to act like we've never done it. But whether it was you or me, we don't have to. We don't have to. We say, I just can't help it. That it may feel like I can't help it, but here's the thing. Jesus told us something else. And if he told us something else, can I do what he told me to do or not? Is he just unjust? Is he telling me to do something I cannot do? No, he's not. Whatever he says, I can do it. Now, it may feel like I can't do it. That's not the same as I can't do it. With his power and strength, I can do it. He said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Can you put up verse 34? Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. For the day, it is sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So here's the thing. If he's telling me not to do it, and I'm feeling it, I got to do something. And here's the thing we need to do. Now, this applies across the board in general to things that God tells us to do, but I want us to see it here with this. We've got to resist it. You got to resist fear. You got to know it's fear. And the thing we do is say, no, I'm not doing that. I refuse to worry. I refuse to. If we don't, then we're letting it have dominion over us. We're saying, I can't do anything about it. What we're saying is God's word's not true. God can't help this. He's not big enough to help me, and I am bound, and there's nothing I can do about it. And that's a lie. But you, me, whoever it is, nobody can resist for you. Nobody can resist for me. I can. You could talk to me if I'm fearing. You could talk to me. You could give me scriptures. But if I choose not to resist, I will be in bondage. Same for anybody else. So we have to resist. We have to push back. We have to recognize what's happening, and now you got to push back. Otherwise, saying, I don't want this to happen, saying the pressure's just too much is not the same as resisting it. Resisting it is saying, I recognize it, and no, it will not dominate me. The other is inviting it, saying, yes, I am in slavery, and I don't know what to do about it. This is the answer. I'm not making light of any condition anybody's in, but the word gives us hope no matter where we are, because God said it, and he knows more than me. He knows more than you, and if he said don't do it, there's a way out, but we have to resist. We got to push back. Look at John 14:25 again. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. See, some people say, well, if Jesus were just with me, then it wouldn't matter. Well, you know what? Most of them didn't recognize who Jesus was. In fact, they killed him. They tried to kill him before that many times, and they walked away from him. You may not have recognized him. And plus, he was only here for a little bit, and he's gone. We have someone far better. We have the Holy Spirit that comes to dwell in us, and that is with us all the time. And he's with every one of you. Jesus could be in one physical place at a time because he had a human body. Holy Spirit can be everywhere. That means he can be with you, 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 be with me, all at the same time. He never leaves us. You never have to go, he's not here. I got a problem. Where am I in the list? 4,000,000,063. I'm going to die before that happens. All right. Jesus, take a flight back over. I need to talk to you. Holy Spirit's right there. All the time. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm going to read again. First of all, he said, I'm giving you my peace. And he said, it's not like the world's peace. You know, the world will promise you peace, but it's temporary. Yeah, take this, man. You're going to feel awesome. Yeah, for a while. And there's side effects. You may feel like you feel awesome, not denying that. But then you won't feel awesome. And it'll have side effects. This, can you put it back up? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. No, this is different. Why? Because it's coming from the Almighty. True peace. Peace in the middle of, just keep that up, in the middle of anything. Anything. Looks like this world's doing this, but God's there. And if you're with God, again, whom shall I fear? Nanny says, let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Well, if I can let it, that means I have control over it. You know, like, don't let that dog in here. I can't help it. No, you have trouble. You have ability to keep the dog outside or keep whatever. Don't let those flies in here. Well, you're going to close the door. Wow, they just flew in. Did you have the door open? Yep. Jesus said, let it. Let not your heart be troubled. That means you, me, we can do something about it. That means if our heart's troubled, again, this is not condemnation, this is freedom. If it's there and we say, I can't control it. It's just gripping me. Yes, that's the way it feels, and that is the condition. But Jesus said there's a way out. Yeah. And if I accept where I am in bondage. I am in slavery. I can't move. But if I say, agree with him and say, okay, you said something different. You said, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You said that the spirit that we've received is not the spirit that leads into fear, but it's the spirit that we call Abba Father. You said that. I'm going to look to you. I'm going to trust you. You said, who should I fear? So the moment I know and identify and I choose to resist it, I'm in a different path. Now I got Almighty God on my side to help me get that slavery, the fear that will enslave me and push back on it to get it out so it no longer enslaves me. But I have to resist. I have to get rid of it. I have to push back and I have to say, no fear, I resist you. I resist fear in the name of Jesus. And your knees can be knocking together. The hairs on the back of your neck can be standing up. Hairs on your arms can be, you have all the symptoms of fear. And if you say it's too late, I can't do anything about it, then you're sunk. But if you say in spite of that, I resist you. Fear? No. Well, now you got God on your side. And he said, we haven't been given a spirit of fear. And if we'll align with him, now the power of God is there to bring peace, calm. Because when we're afraid and we yield to it, whatever it looks like, straight up panic, stress, we feel that stress, that dread pushes. No, 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 that's fear. No. What do you do? Choose to praise God. Choose to look at him. Choose to look at who he is. He said, fear not. for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand, my righteous right hand. I'll do that. You say, God, I sure don't feel like that, but I trust you. Look at the word. Look at it again. Read it again. Read it again. Read it again. Quote it again. Push back. That's better than the other thing, looping. Oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I know. See, that's this loop. That's the bondage loop. Break out of it and start saying no and start looking at what God said. That's the way to silence. And the more we do this, it's displacing the other, and then we start walking in his peace. Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. What's anxious?
Fear.
Don't fear anything. Don't be anxious for nothing, or don't fear any time, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That means you're bringing it to God, you're thanking him. Let your requests be made known to God, and his, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. It means you don't got to understand it. It might be, somebody could be like, how are you calm? It passes our understanding. Somebody's like, wow. Reading the word of God, fellowshipping with him, it will bring peace because he's the answer. Amen. Where something tries to push on you, you get in the presence of God. See, the fear will try to push you to just keep doing stuff, and that'll just ramp you up more if you just stop, get quiet. Sometimes that's the hardest thing, just to get your mind quiet. Push everything away and get your mind quiet with God. Now you can hear your heart. And God's not stressed. I said, God's not stressed, ever. There's not a condition where he's ever like, yeah, I'm out. Gabriel, Michael, you handle this. I'm done. I'm going out to lunch. Tell me how it turns out. Gabriel, Michael, archangels, you know, just you just go down. He's never. He always knows. He knows the end from the beginning. Amen. He always has an answer. He's never freaked out. There's never anything that he's, oh, I don't know about this. He's on the throne. He's seen the end from the beginning. There is no time with him. It's just all flat. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue or if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate. Think on these things, let them come out of your mouth, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. What is that? That's pushing back. And he's telling us what to think on and what to meditate on, and so if he said that, then we can do that. What's that when you actually do it? That's resisting what's trying to push on you. You're saying, no, I'm not going to think on all that. You're not saying it's not real. Something's real. You deal with that. It's real, but God's real. Amen. But the word of God's true. So I'm not negating that. It's not sticking your head in the sand going, oh, no, I can't see anything. Can't think about that. No, that's ignoring it. You say, yep, there we go, but God. And I think I'll look at the but God. And I'm going to meditate on that because the other, we know where that's going to go. We know that. But we know when we look to God and we look to him, oh, the presence of God, the helper. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the helper. He comes to what? Help. Also calls him the comforter. Comes to comfort, help, bring peace. And when you're in the presence of God, there is peace. Peace that passes understanding. The peace that God gives, not like the world gives. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule. Not anything else, not fear pushing us to make us a slave, but the peace of God. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, the Lord of peace himself will give you peace always in every way. That's the total opposite of being a slave to fear. Unconcerned. Peace. In his presence. Opposite of what the devil's trying to do. When he's trying to get us in bondage, But when we walk where God wants us to walk, we're in peace. We have to resist, and God will make his word good that he'll give us peace always and every way. Amen.